thank you for staying with us, folks. Melissa and Sharad here tonight. This is a special edition of Consider This as we speak to experts and activists to make sense of the current political crisis in the country right now. We have joining us on the line Dr. Sharifa Shahira Syed Sheikh, political analyst. Shahira, thank you for joining us this evening. I'd like to begin with your observations of the discourse surrounding the recent political developments. Now, what have you found particularly interesting about the narratives that are used to explain the events of the last few days?
Okay, thank you so much, Ishrawani, for calling me. I'm currently conducting a survey based on the narratives made by netizens, and I can identify around three blocks. Okay, number one, the one that are calling traitors. This one usually is the current government. I mean, the Pakatan Harapan, and the other one is a supporter of supporting Tun's move by saying that thank you God and so forth. And usually they are split into two, UMNO and PAS member, and also other, particularly Malays. And then we have another third block, which is actually maybe representing Malaysian as overall Malaysian. They feel like numb and they feel less interested with the drama, and feel that this drama is not actually direct, having any direct benefit for their well-being.
Are there people who feel that this shouldn't have come to pass, that they feel betrayed, they want to withdraw from politics? Because sometimes, it's people want to actually disengage as a consequence of crisis.
Yeah, the thing is, they feel that it's just 22 months old, the government, and there are so many issues are not solved. For example, like the cost of living, unemployment, especially for the youth, their main concern is about their well-being, where their life going to head from here. So instead of concentrating on the politician affairs, most Malaysians feel that it's supposed to be their affair, Malaysian affairs, not the politician affair. So, based on my survey, which is actually now around 600 people responding to my survey, it seems to be like there are mixed reaction, and it actually portrayed the three blocks, whereby a lot, it's like 30%, and nearly 30+% said they just don't have any views about this scenario.
Sharifa, yeah. This is really interesting to me because you're saying that it's almost equally split down three ways, right, in terms of the three blocks that you mentioned. Has your survey found anything in terms of the age breakdown? Do we know whether young people are interested in what's happening or concerned in what's happening with the collapse of the Pakatan Harapan government? Or is this mainly a concern of perhaps an older generation?
They are actually concerned about the current situation of Malaysia. Not they are concerning about the political party survival or politician survival. They are concerned about the future of Malaysia. They are concerned about what will happen to their well-being in the future, all right? And most of out of the 600, 47.6% of my respondents, they are from 30 to 45 years old, and then 42.4% are 46 to 59 years old. And I think because it's a Google, it's using technology, so these are the group that answered the question. And it seems to be like there are issues. I asked about the issues, whether Tun Mahathir are still relevant as Prime Minister. It seems to be like nearly more than 50% agree that he is suitable. And the thing about whether DAP is the reason why Bumiputra is not supporting the government. And it seems to be like it's overwhelming. A lot of them agree with the statement, which is around 75%. So I think there are, there are split opinion about whether this thing that happened is due to political elite arrangement. Many say it's yes, around 45% say yes, and around 20% said no. And most are in the middle. They say they don't know, or they just refuse to give any opinion.
I want to ask you, Shaya, if you think that, because in one of your pieces for New Mandela, you wrote that there's a changing dynamic. People are less loyal to parties. They're more interested in the candidate, and they're more interested in sort of local issues. Do you think over the last 18 or 20 months that we've had of the Pakatan Harapan government, this dynamic has continued, that people are getting changing their attitudes towards political leadership and politics in general? Or do you think it's moving back to party loyalty and the older forms of relationships that existed in Malaysia?
All right. In terms of, I have written an article on erosion of polarization in Malaysia. In terms of political party loyalty, I think it's very fluid now, which is actually better because it's a sign of mature democracy. In other words, when they give opinion, it's more about what rakyat needs instead of what party needs, all right? But when it comes to, again, based on our history and also our racial polarization, all right, it seems to be like here it shows it kind of most majority feel that the majority Malaysian feels that their voice is underrepresented, and kind of like the Pakatan Harapan government has a little bit give more room, too much room for DAP to voice a little bit too loud. I mean, this is the thing about democracy. We need to always able to have this balance of power within the population, which is actually the representation must put the voice and the representation and the interest of that politician voice out must be have this mirror reflecting the composition of the population. Yeah.
Very quickly, I just want to know, in the coming months and perhaps year or so, what will you be looking at in terms of how young people come to understand what's happened with the political crisis and politics in general?
Yeah, the thing is, they do know that politics is the platform for people to get what they want, and the negotiation and the participation is very important. And but what they want, I mean, the youth nowadays, they want a respect. You need to earn the respect. So they want a politician who they can respect. In other words, a politician that able to give what they are interested in. In terms of jobs, yeah, in terms of economic, in terms of better house price, those are the things that they want. And now, although we still have this a lot of issues related to race and religion, but I think if we can go for what rakyat needs and talk more about the well-being of rakyat, especially about the youth, definitely we will able to reduce this racial and religion manipulation. For me, it's more about a political warfare. I mean, it's easier to use these two, and history has shown so many in any part of the world, these two elements indicator of power, which is actually race and religion, is all usually work. But for us to move towards a developed and advanced country, I think it's time for us to talk more about people's well-being and what people genuinely need instead of what politicians need.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us this evening and sharing your insights. Dr. Sharifa Shahira Syed Sheikh, political analyst there with her insights. We're going to take a quick break. After this, though, Hishamuddin Rais joins us in the studio. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.